Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight, I want to bring you a word that's, I've spoken some of this in the past. I haven't spoken some of this in a while, and I couldn't get away from it from Monday. It seemed like just from Monday morning, it kept coming, and God was speaking to me about this. And first of all, I want to say that our God is a God of promise. He's a God of promise, that He won't break a promise. You know, a promise is only as good as the person that gives it, right? Well, God gives us a promise, and it's for real forever, and it never, ever is false. He's fully truth, and He walks in this truth, and His promises come to pass. And so tonight I want to challenge you and challenge myself about taking God at His word and what He's saying in His word, and knowing that it's a promise and it's truth. And we have to take God at His word. We just can't take God's word and leave it with our emotions or our feelings of what we think God's word says. We can't do that. And so tonight it's about taking God at His word and what He says about heaven and also what He says about hell. The urgency right now is to be able to take God at His word. As so many, the word says that many are going to come, false Christ, and going to try to distort the word. And they're doing that. But His word is true, and it's faithful. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand the faithfulness of God's word. We misunderstand it because we try to put our will in the midst of saying, okay, I think this is God's will, and we try to impose our will instead of really seeking out the will of God for our lives. We want our desires, and then our desires become, I think this is God's will. And it's not. It's our will. It's our choices of what we feel. And God wants you to walk in the fullness of the promise and the fullness of the word. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We need to have a view of God that we can take Him at His word, and that we don't try to make it fit in to our, listen to this, to our own moral standards. And too many people are doing that, saying, I'm gonna fit God's word into my moral standards, what I think is right, what I think is truth, and how far I want to go in this area. So I'm gonna fit God's word in. And so I'm gonna use a few of these scriptures, and I'm gonna kind of say, this is where I'm gonna camp right now. Instead of taking the whole counsel of God's word, we can't fit it into our moral standards. We have to fit it into what the word of God is saying about heaven and about hell. I haven't spoke on hell in a long time, and I think I need to speak about it a lot more. And I think a lot of us need to understand that it's absolutely real. There is this place called hell. It really is. Scripture backs it up. Jesus speaks all about it. The Apostle Paul speaks all about it. All the epistles. But sometimes we just don't take the reality and understand that it's for real. You know, I was at a, and I don't want to be heavy here tonight. I want to be joyful about this because I'm saved. But I also know I need to have a burden for those that don't know the Lord. And it needs to be real to me. It needs to be real to all of us that we have relatives and we have friends and we pass people on the street and we don't know their eternal destiny. And God put such a passion in our heart to share his love that we would be willing to share our heart about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And the good news is not just about the blood that saved us and that we're going to heaven. The good news is that we understand that there is a hell. A lot of people don't get that. You know, I remember one of those holiday dinners I was at with the whole family. You know, sometimes those are rough. And I remember we got into the conversation. You know, you don't talk about family dinners, holidays, you don't talk about what? You don't talk about religion, and you don't talk about politics, right? Isn't that how it goes? That's what they say anyway. And usually those topics always come up, right? Well, religion came up, and we started talking about God, and we started talking about Jesus, and I remember this quote by one of my relatives, and when they said it, it just got me, and they said, you know, I just believe that God is such a God of love that he's not going to let anybody go to hell and that he's just going to allow everyone to go to heaven. And you know what? I want to believe that too. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. But that's not the word of God. He's a God of love. Why would he let anybody go to hell? And so we kind of fit this in. This is what we believe. And then out of my spirit came a phrase that I've said many times since then, and I was surprised that it popped up right then. And I said to my relative, I'm not going to give it away, so I said to my relative, I won't tell you who it was, but I said to my relative at that moment, I said, if God was a God of love, why would he send his son on a worthless mission if there was another way to get to heaven? Why would he do that? And a little bit of sobriety fell over the table. And of course, there was no answer for that except the answer of truth. God wouldn't send his son on a worthless mission if there was another way to get to heaven. Why would he allow that to happen if he was a God of love? Amen? And when that happened, we never did really talk much about it anymore when we went to those dinners. Because the reality is that Jesus made a way for each and every one of us. And that reality needs to be with us. And I want to share about that a little bit. I want to share about what God's word says about hell a little bit tonight. I want to share a little bit about what Jesus says about hell tonight. And Jesus speaks of hell, and he says it's a place of torment. And he's really giving us a message saying, do whatever you can. Avoid this place at all costs. Don't go there. It's real. You know the message about the sheep and the goats, right? If you look at Matthew 25, starting with verse 41, this is what Jesus says. He says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did nothing to invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer, verse 45, he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, least of these, you did not do it to me. Then he says this in verse 46. This is Jesus, the lover of our soul. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I've looked at several different commentaries on that scripture, and it means exactly what it means. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What makes us righteous is the blood of Christ. So Jesus is speaking about this. He's speaking about this horrifying reality to avoid at all costs. Again, so many people want to fit their own emotions, their own feelings, their own moral standards into the word of the Lord, and you can't do that. You've got to take the full counsel of the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, now this is kind of a kicker. The Apostle Paul, he writes 13 letters, and he never, ever used the word hell in any of the letters. Not once. Not once. Of course, when I first heard that, I was thinking, well, maybe he was avoiding the issue. Maybe he just didn't want to talk about it. And then I started digging a little deeper and looking a little bit more and reading a little bit more. And he didn't use the word, but he spoke about it. He spoke about it more than any other writer in those 13 books. He would say, death. Death is a result of sin, eternal death. He would talk about being condemned. He would talk about perishing. He would talk about the wrath of God. He would speak about unless a sinner repents and turns to God, he would be punished. In all 13 epistles, Paul spoke more about the wicked and their destiny than he did about God's mercy, forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness combined, he spoke more about the sin and the wicked and the position of where they were headed. But how much do we even talk about it? Or we're afraid to talk about it? Now, understand this, that I'm not judging a person's position where they are, because God does know that and where they're at. And in the midst of suffering, just like the thief on the cross, in a moment, somebody can cry out to Christ and they can be right there in that place that they need to be. You don't know when that happens in people's lives. Only God does. But if all of us were going to make it to heaven, then why was there such a warning continuously from the Apostle Paul and from Jesus? And why do we not want to speak about it? You know, there's people that go out on the streets and preach the hellfire damnation, you know, out on the street corners. And you know, when I'm reading this, I think Paul did it a couple times himself, especially to the Greeks. And I know sometimes that can come off harsh, and it can maybe push people away, but I also know of people getting saved because they're hearing the truth. And so I'm just saying that maybe we need to, yes, speak about love, and we want to speak about his grace and his mercy. I always want to speak an encouraging message. I don't ever want to speak a message about hell. And so I'm kind of checking myself. Why don't I want to do that? Why? Is it because something inside of me just doesn't want to even think about the reality of that? Is there something inside of me that no longer has the compassion that I really need for the lost that are going in that direction? Is there fear in me because I want to rationalize it, that everyone's going to make it and, you know, God's got them and I'll just pray for them? No. I think he wants us all to be messengers of his truth and of his word and the message of heaven and hell. I guess I would ask this question. If my son was about ready to run into traffic, what would I do? Are you guys with me? Listen, if my son was about ready to run into traffic and get killed, what would I do? What would I do? You know what I'd do. I'd stop him. I would warn him, wouldn't I? I would warn him. Why? Because I love him. If I would warn my son that he's about ready to step into traffic, how much more do we need to warn our brothers and sisters all throughout the earth about they're going to die if they don't know Christ? They're going to be eternally separated. Don't avoid the issue. Again, the Apostle Paul spoke about it so many times. And I think that he stayed motivated because, you know, he was such a man of sin and how radically he got saved. And he was talking about the fate of the wicked. But he stayed motivated because of his compassion for the lost. He was so lost. If you turn to Acts chapter 17. I just found this one today. 17. Some of these scriptures I gave to you back there, some of them, I don't know if you have them. 17, I think, let's see, what was it at? 30 and 31. Yeah. This is the sermon on Mars Hill where Paul stands up and because they're worshiping all kinds of gods. He's speaking to the Greeks and, man, I almost want to read this whole thing, but I won't read it. I'll just read. So he's starting with verse 30. He says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men." He stood up and he was proclaiming the truth, declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. He's preaching Jesus, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some of them begin to sneer. But there he is. He's saying he will judge the world through righteousness, through one man. And Paul's speaking. He just stands up in the midst of these unbelievers, and he starts telling them about judgment. The message of God loves you is wonderful. God has a plan for your life. I love it. And he does. But he says on other occasions to warn you of judgment. Paul right there in that scripture says, Jesus was raised from the dead. He's going to judge, and they need to repent. That's what he was saying. And I guess what I'm saying is that Jesus and Paul and many, they really wanted to warn everybody about what was coming. They wanted them to understand the essential truths. They wanted them to know that there was a way. One of the things that we don't think about is that repentance is the good news. To repent of your sins and turn to God. And I guess what I'm saying tonight and what I want to say is that there's a bigger picture. It's not just a pretty message of Jesus loves you, because he does, but there's more. God is a God of his word. He is a God of promise. And so when he speaks about these things, sometimes it's like this blistering message, you know, that's just hitting you in the face. But when he speaks it, it is truth. And we got to take him at his word. Always. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's see, what did I say? Okay, 6 through 9. It says, "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." Verse 8 says, "Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." In another scripture it says, Jesus brings vengeance. Wait a minute. This is the God of love. This is what the scripture says. He's going to deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey. These are scriptures that many times we don't read often because there's a bigger picture. And what he's saying there, Jesus is going to inflict vengeance on those who don't know God. If you study it out and don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. If you go to Jude, it's right before Revelations, Jude, And starting, listen to this, starting with verse 14. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all of their harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These, verse 16, sobering scripture. These are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lust. Following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. In one scripture it says, those preachers that take advantage of the church for financial gain. It says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly mindedness. They're devoid of spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them." This is what I want to hit. "Snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." That's powerful scripture. You know, back in my days, I ran into a lot of pretty tough people. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, and I'd seen some pretty tough individuals, pretty hardcore, pretty calloused. And then when I was in the nightclubs for years, playing in the clubs, ran into a lot of wild individuals. And I remember when I got radically saved and I stood at the bars and I ran into some of those radical people that I thought, you know, would spit nails, and shared the gospel with them, and they got radically touched by the Holy Ghost. These big, tough people talking smart trash, think they got it all together, were just broken into a little puddle. And Jesus came and changed their lives. For so long, I lived in my arrogance. I lived thinking that I knew the answers to things. And when God got a hold of me, he changed all of that. God loves every one of us so, so much that he'll do whatever it takes to bring us into the reality of heaven and hell. And so tonight, I just felt like if you have unsaved loved ones, to speak with them, to pray for them, to share your heart with them. If you're not sure that you're name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you would make sure of that even before you walk out of here. I know it's kind of a heavy message, but to me it's kind of a needful message, because the lake of fire is a final destination for a lot of folks, for the devil and unbelievers. I'm going to finish with this scripture. It's in Revelations. You know, we have people that go out and they're treasure hunters. They go out and to pray for healing for people, or to prophesy, or to share Christ. I think it's amazing when we go out and we speak the love of God to people, and knowing that we have a burden for people. I guess I would like to say, Don't hold back anymore. Don't hold back the truth. Speak love to people. Speak truth to people. Speak salvation to people. If you're working with somebody and they're not saved and you know it, you need to pray for them and do everything you can to present Christ to them and the love of Jesus. Most of us are creatures of habit, so we go in certain places, in and out. Wherever you go, make sure you share the love of Jesus, because you don't know what's going to happen the next day. Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 11 through 15, I want to read this. Now, this is heavy stuff, you know, but I want you to just read it. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I'm giving you evidence in the scripture of what it says. And God is a God of his word, and we need to take him at his word. This reality of scripture, I could have spent an hour and a half giving you scriptures that speak about the destination that nobody usually wants to quote or even speak about it. They don't want to talk about it. And I just hope that God will allow us here and many of you to speak more about it in the place of love, but it's the truth, and about the destination of those that don't choose Jesus. I guess what I'm saying is that I feel like in my heart I was showing little evidence that these scriptures are a reality to me. And I was asking God, help me more and more to know that these scriptures are a huge reality to me. And there's evidence of these scriptures in my life. Does that make sense? A passion for the lost. The Bible says hell is for real. And then I wrote this line down. I guess I have to ask every day, am I for real? Am I really for real? Do I believe exactly what this says? Am I standing for truth? And I said, Lord, I want to be for real. And he wants you to be for real. Why don't you stand? I guess our view of God needs to be sometimes a little bigger than what we have. So, Lord, I come before you tonight. I thank you for the people that took the effort to come out here tonight. And I ask, God, that tonight that you would help every one of us to view, to take you at your word, to take you at your promise. And, God, I ask that even in this moment, just for a moment, if there's anyone here that feels like their name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life or have any question, that we would pray for them and pray with them, and that everyone that walks out of this room tonight has said to you, Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge everything you did at Calvary on the cross, how you died for every one of my sins. And I ask you to forgive me of every sin I've committed up to this moment. forgive me, Jesus. And I ask you to have your way within my heart, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. Or maybe it's a prayer, I come back to you today. I've been away from you and I come back to you today. And I know that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that you are the light. Help me to be real. Help me to be genuine in your word and in your love. And help me, help every one of us to be able to speak about your goodness and your mercy, but also the warning that you want us to give to all of our friends and family and people out there in the community, that you're coming back to judge. And you have a right to do it. So, Lord, have your way with us tonight. I'm just going to take just a minute. Just keep praying. And if you feel the need just to come up, it takes courage and boldness and be prayed for, we will pray with you. If Michael has anything to say, just for a moment. Yes, God. We want you, Jesus.
You.
Yes.
Because all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love.
Yes.
All I have in you is more than enough. Cause all of you is more than enough.
Yes, God.
All of me for every thirst, every need. Satisfy me with your love, but all I have in you is more
yes.
than enough, more than all I need.
You are Jesus.
More than all I need. You are more than enough for
you are
me.
Jesus.
More than all I know, more than all I can see.
Yes, Lord.
You are more than enough for me.
Lord, I ask that you would expand our vision and our understanding of who you are. That you would expand our knowledge of your word and the fullness of your goodness. God, let your word have its way within our lives. Let us hunger after your word. Let us meditate upon your word. Let us know your word, God. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit tonight. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your awakening tonight. I thank you that tonight, God, some people said yes to you in a new, fresh way, in a genuine, real way. God, use us as messengers to many. God, may we not live in regret, but may we live in the hope that you bring in every situation with every individual. We love you, Jesus. And we give this all to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen.